Well, we don't talk about him much, but how about that green wave from Tulane? What a finish to finish off the Houston Cougars. It's a Football Friday. The Nickel Report, Jordy and the Judge. Everything with high school football in the Raging Cajuns with George Faust. Larry Holder weighs in on the Saints, and we'll give you Monday headlines on a Friday. We got 2 hours. I don't know if it's enough time to fit it all in, but we'll try today. Friday, September 20th, 2019.
Shotgun. Minshew looking for it all. Floats it to the left side. It is caught. DJ Chark in the end zone. Touchdown, Jaguars. Minshew puts it exactly where it needed to be. A 24-yard strike. And Jacksonville adds to its lead.
I love their stories. I love their heart. I love the fact that we get to see both these guys in action. Oh, it's a trick play. Amari Jones, trick play. Oh, they fooled him, and he works it out there midfield.
I love everything about that. Coach Fritz is an old school guy, and he absolutely okey-dokes
them. Oh, my goodness. Eight back in coverage for Houston. McMillan launches down the middle for McCluskey. And it's three. Jalen McCluskey. Touchdown. Touchdown. They take the lead with 3 seconds left.
Every player on the Tulane Green Wave football team is sprinting down to the corner to celebrate with Jalen McCluskey. Flags are down. Who cares?
Oh, baby, roll, green wave, rolling down the field. The biggest football game on the Uptown campus since Tulane ended a 25-game losing streak against LSU, beating the Tigers 14-0 in the old Tulane Stadium in 1973. Last night was remarkable. Tulane trailed Houston 28-7. They took a 31-28 lead midway through the fourth quarter. They watched the Cougars tie the score with just seconds remaining. Then they go 71 yards in two plays. One, the old hidden ball trick. When everybody thought they were going to take a knee and go to overtime, they gained 18. And then the improbable. Happy for Justin McMillan. It's been a long journey, a long road to happiness for him. He throws the touchdown pass. Three Houston Cougars try to tackle the wide receiver for the Greenies. They all knock down like bowling pins. He scores. 38-31, Tulane on a roll. What a game it was on a Thursday night, far overshadowing Mr. Mustachioed quarterback for the Jacksonville Jags, who had no trouble beating the Tennessee Titans. God, it's bad, bad football. But it's a Football Friday. Good afternoon and welcome. We got a busy day planned for you and yours. The Tigers finally got the news today on Ed Ingram, the offensive lineman. He's been cleared to return to the team. Ingram has not played since the 2017 season, when he was one of the standout performers on the team's offensive line during his freshman season. During training camp last year, Ingram was suspended from the program following allegations of sexual assault against him back in his home state of Texas. Ingram has remained suspended since that time. The news of Ingram's return to the team, first reported by Brooks Cabina of The Advocate, after the announcement, Ed Orgeron made release. I had this statement from an LSU release, quote, "Our whole team and our LSU family welcomes Ed Ingram back. He is an outstanding football player, an integral part of our team and family, and we are excited to have him back with us. He will not travel to Nashville, but he will be ready to go against Utah State after the bye week." LSU's offensive line just got a whole lot better. What kind of weather are we going to have for this Football Friday? Chris Dozart, our columnist from, our meteorologist, rather, from KLFY, kind enough to join us yet again. Chris Dozart, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
All right, I'm doing great. We got all kind of places that we need to know what the weather's going to be like. Let's start off Friday night, Acadiana, for all the high school football games.
Well, I just drove through a pretty heavy downpour. I think we could see some scattered rain. This is going to be the first night that we're going to be fighting some rain chances across the area. I think about a 40% rain chance for those kickoffs at 7 o'clock. So there will be some scattered storms there. I don't expect a major issue here, but there will be some of those games that may get delayed because of some lightning. But you would want to bring some rain gear just in case that some of those showers kind of linger through the evening hours there.
Very good. All right, 11 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, LSU will be in Nashville. What's Music City looking like?
A lot easier forecast there. It will be hot and sunny. We're looking at temperatures probably in the mid to upper 80s by that time. So just hot and quiet. They don't have to worry about any rainfall there.
All right, 1 o'clock. Let's go up north to the great Midwest, Ohio University. What's the weather for the Raging Cajuns against the Ohio Bobcats in Athens, Ohio?
You would think that they're going to get some cooler weather up there, but not the case. It'll be hot and sunny up there as well. They're looking at highs around 89 degrees there in Athens. So it'll be a hot kickoff even for South Ohio there for getting into the NSF area with hopes for some cooler weather, but it will be hot for them as well.
Not just yet. Not so fast, as they say. All right, Sunday, the Saints are up in the great Northwest against Seattle. I can predict the weather. There's always a chance of a shower or two. But what's the forecast look like?
Yeah, well, there's only about 5 days out of the year that's worth anything in Seattle, and this Sunday is not going to be one of them. It looks like a pretty good chance of rain. I think it could rain all game if the forecast verifies. So showers will be pretty likely, and you're looking at temperatures in the 60s. So it'll be kind of a cool and nasty rainy day there on Sunday.
Ooh, bring out the running game and let's see what happens. All right, Chris Cozart of KLFY, job well done. We had you all over the globe today, so we greatly appreciate. So maybe some showers tonight in Acadiana. No worries in Nashville and in Ohio, but Saints fans, man, bring your slick suit because it's going to be raining in Seattle. Chris, thank you, as always, for the updates. We greatly appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Look forward to next week.
You got it, buddy. Chris Cozart, KLFY. Here's our Friday rundown. It's par for the course, and sometimes par is not bad because the course is tough. Jim Nickel will join us next with a Nickel Report, everything you want to know about Vanderbilt University. I wonder what their endowment is. We'll have another segment of Jordy and the Judge. Doug Moore will join us as he's getting ready to leave to go to Nashville. Doug Morrow will be on the call of the game in Nashville for LSU, which you can listen to starting at 9 a.m. with the pregame show, 11 a.m. with the call of the game, Chris Blair and Doug Morrow. So Jordy and the Judge. In hour number two, we'll start it off with George Faust, sports director of KLFY. The big matchup in Acadiana, they've never played before, but they're finally going to get it on tonight. His thoughts on what I believe is a tough, tough task for the Raging Cajuns as they head to take on Ohio University. Larry Holder will join us after that. He was at Yulman Stadium for the Tulane Houston phenomenal finish, and we'll share his thoughts on the Saints and the Seahawks. And then the tripod gets back together again. CD, George Becknell, and myself will give you Monday's headlines on a Friday. It's all coming your way. We're brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. Over 60 in southern and central Louisiana. Why? Because it's great. You got so many discounts, so many great deals each and every day throughout all the stores. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, you just can't shop right at all. Settle back. We're here for 2 hours. We'll get things rolling with the Nickel Report next here on the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
This is everything you need to know about the Tigers' opponent on Saturday. Time for the Nickel Report.
Yeah, the Nickel Report brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, man, you just can't shop right at all. This will be an interesting Nickel Report. LSU and Vandy have only met 30 times in football since 1902. They've only played 12 times since 1957. So Jim Nickel and his research staff had to do some extra work, and we welcome in Mr. Nickel, the Crowley Kid, today. Jim, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, sir. Great Friday afternoon. Looking forward to a fantastic trip to Nashville and hopefully an SEC win and an early arrival back in Baton Rouge, yes, which will be nice.
Yes, yes. No golf on this trip. It's strictly business. But, boy, Nashville is – it's the best spot to go to in the SEC. It's a big city with a small college vibe to it. So you guys will have a lot of fun tonight in Nashville. So without further ado, tell us what we need to know about the Commodores.
Vanderbilt University Nickel Report. Vanderbilt was founded in 1873. Of course, all Jody Herberg Show listeners know LSU was founded in 1860. It's named for the shipping and rail magnate Commodore Cornelius Vanderbilt, who stroked the check for $1 million way, way back in 1873. I don't know what that's worth now, but it's a lot. And the Commodore hoped his gift would create greater work and that the university would help heal some of the wounds inflicted by the Civil War. He died before he ever got a chance to visit the university name farm, but he did establish one heck of a school. USU, as a real report, has it in the top 15 best colleges in America. It's right there with Rice and Emory. This is a really good academic school. Its endowment, $6.4 billion, that's a B, billion, LSU,
wow,
still not at the
wow
B mark, at about $845 million. 12,000 students, they got about 7,000 undergrad, 5,000 postgraduates. By the way, all the undergraduate students have to live on campus, not just freshmen. You're required to live. There are some exceptions,
oh,
but nearly 83% of Vandy students live on the Vandy campus. They recruited the very first African-American athlete in the SEC. Perry Wallace from Nashville played varsity basketball for Vanderbilt,
yeah,
in 1967. And in 2004, a student-led drive ended in retiring Wallace's jersey, and that's an appropriate thing. There is no athletic department in Vandy. They eliminated that in 2003. The Office of Student Life, which oversees all student clubs and fraternities, et cetera, is in charge of athletics. Famous graduates, former Vice President Al Gore, Dinah Shore, Roseanne Cash, Amy Grant, David Brinkley, there's an old name from the news world that's been gone for quite some time. Robert Penn Warren, a lot of connections to Louisiana, but he's a Vanderbilt grad. Molly Sims, one of my favorite all-time supermodels, attended Vanderbilt.
Yes.
Tip Gore, the former vice president's former wife. And our current U.S. Senator from Louisiana, John Kennedy, is a Vanderbilt grad. Also, the current executive counsel to Governor John Bel Edwards, Matthew Block from Houma, is a Vanderbilt grad. And then Grantland Rice, one of the most famous sports writers in the history of writing of sports, that really set the mark for sports journalists, was a graduate of Vanderbilt University. The first college game ever played in the state of Tennessee was Vandy versus the University of Nashville. Their all-time record in football as far as postseasons, they've got a 2-1 bowl record. They've been to 3 bowls. No division titles, no Heisman trophies. They've never won a conference championship since the SEC was founded in 1932 in football. They finished ranked one time in 1948. They were number 12 nationwide. Their biggest win against LSU was probably when LSU was number 6 in 1937. They beat us. Jay Cutler, formerly of the Chicago Bears, is the only SEC Offensive Player of the Year football in Vanderbilt football history. Of course, Nashville, as you mentioned, a great town. Country Music Hall of Fame is there. By the way, $18 to get in the Country Music Hall of Fame. If you want to go by there, it's open from 9 to 6, so you better go before the game. And then Ryman Auditorium, the original home of the Grand Ole Opry, which has the oldest continuous radio program in the United States, it's open from 9 to 4. The tour there is 12:50, and that is the Nickel Report.
Jim Nickel with everything you need to know about the Commodores. Vanderbilt Stadium, it's the smallest SEC football facility, 40,550. I wonder, out of those 40,550 seats, Tiger Nation's coming. I can promise you that.
My understanding is we sold our 6,000, and I'm sure we bought some on the secondary market. I hear a lot of folks going up. This is a fun trip. You mentioned it. Nashville's a great town, and the Vandy fans are very pleasant and By the way, it's no coincidence. They'll be honoring the Vanderbilt baseball national championship team at halftime. So they'll just remind LSU, by the way, we're better than y'all in baseball right now. So they'll do that. But no, looking forward to it. It's going to be a nice trip. And as someone who traveled with the Tigers for a long, long time, you know how nice it is. People may not like that 11 o'clock kickoff, but it sure is nice to touch down at that Bear Court around 5 o'clock and have supper with the family. So looking forward to a successful
trip. Yes, indeed.
Need to show some improvement in our run game. Need to show some improvement in our defensive front. We need to see some play from some guys that we haven't seen so far because we've got some guys missing. We've got to see how we're going to deal with, you know, the loss of was it Palmer we lost in the game, the injury.
Todd Harris.
I keep wanting to call Palmer. Harris, we lost him. So we've got some things we need to look for, and Vandy's going to play there. You know, they're going to play well. So a lot to learn from this game. Road games are always tricky. You know that. And so we've got to take care of business. Let Joe Burrow run his stats up a little bit more. Hopefully have a nice win, come back, and get ready for a nice open day. But we're looking forward to Nashville for sure.
Absolutely. It's interesting because Greg Sankey announced in July that SEC Media Days, usually held in Hoover, Alabama, near the conference headquarters in Birmingham, is coming to Nashville in 2021. No direct correlation to the fact that in April the NFL draft was in town, and attendance for that three-day event was estimated at a record 600,000 people. The previous high water mark, about 250,000 for Philadelphia in 2017. So it's a great sports site. I'm just curious, with that endowment, I know they have academic restrictions there, but Vanderbilt's always bad. It's amazing. They've been good in basketball, but in football, I mean, they're just always bad.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure the recruiting for such a long time was almost impossible against what was once a very, very dominant Tennessee football team. And then you've got Ole Miss to your south recruiting against you and Georgia and LSU. By the way, three former Mr. Tennessee football players are going to be in Nashville this weekend. Unfortunately for Tennessee and for Vandy, they wear purple and gold. So Tennessee's been a rich recruiting spot for us lately. I was talking to a Tennessee fan yesterday on Thursday. I was talking to a Tennessee fan, and she was lamenting about how bad they are. I said, well, let me tell you one of the reasons you're bad. We've got your last three Mr. Tennessee footballs playing in purple and gold. She goes, you got to be kidding me. I said, no, we've gone up there and recruited pretty well. So I imagine Vandy's always had a lot of difficulty recruiting a lot of football players, but it should be a nice trip. And I know Coach O is going to be looking for an excellent performance. We can't let our guard down at any moment. And hopefully we notch a win, a convincing win, and move on about our business.
I've got to ask you this. You are our version of Mr. Blackwell. So LSU came out with the purple jerseys, white pants, white helmet. They have to wear the purple jersey again this weekend in Nashville because Vandy's going with their, color rush outfit, whatever it is. What did you think of the purple ensemble from a week ago?
I liked it. You know, Doug Morrow, your old friend and mine, he's not crazy about that ensemble. He likes the traditional outfit. I think Coach O does too. I think Coach O will tell you, and talking to Greg Stringfellow and Louis Bourgeois and the guys in the equipment room, the players love the change of uniform. But, you know, these young guys, they don't really hold on to a lot of tradition. They like the razzle dazzle of the new changed uniforms. The question we don't know the answer to, at least as I don't, and maybe somebody does, is are we going to wear the gold helmet or the white helmet? But for sure we'll have on the purple jersey, and we'll see. But, look, you put on whatever you got to put on. You got to play the game, and we got to tackle better.
That's right.
We're going up and we're hitting people, but, you know, the old Craig Lawson, I'm going to knock you out. But, you know, if you miss the knockout, you miss the tackle. I'd like to see LSU tackle better. And so we're real high on a lot of things about this team, but, you know, you got to keep working the process. Somebody we know would say, and keep going and keep getting better because the road in October gets a little rougher.
Speaking of that, the process, your thoughts, I thought it was a great move by the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. Nick Saban going into it this summer. Your thoughts on Saban going into the Hall of Fame of Louisiana sports?
Well, certainly, I mean, 100% deserving. I mean, he is by far one of the most important people in Louisiana football history. He brought LSU back. He did a lot of great things for us. He deserves it. I'm not crazy about the timing. I'm not sure it couldn't have been done. You know, I guess this is when they announced those things. I don't, you know, I'm not sure we could have waited until he retired and done it. I don't know what it does. I'm sure it doesn't do anything about recruiting or anything, but certainly well-deserved. And I know that Coach Saban will go up there and give them a great event. You know, those Hall of Fame events are about a lot of things, including raising money for the Hall of Fame. He will turn out a lot of people. He will be good for the event. He'll be good for the Hall. So it's definitely well-deserved.
Yeah. I'm with you. Across the street is our version of the Parthenon. If you haven't been there, go see that. And then you got to go, if you haven't, you got to go see the basketball gym with more scoreboards than any other gym in the world. I think the last count I saw, they had about 18 or 19 scoreboards in that strange configuration of hoops where the court is raised and the coaches and the benches are behind the goals, not on the sidelines.
Never been. I'm glad you recommended that. We'll get there about 2 hours before kickoff. Maybe I'll be able to pop over there and check it out. Did you play at Vandy?
Did play at Vandy, yes, played at Vandy, and they were very good back then. So, yeah, we played, and, you know, they pushed the bleachers back, and I swear, God, it was like the longest court in the history of the world. It was crazy. It was raised, and it was really, really weird. And the funniest story ever was he ended up becoming the head coach at LSU and had some success, and then, you know, Johnny Jones, I'll never forget Dale Brown sending him into the game, and you had to run from the bench down the sideline, kneel, because that's where the scorer's table was. And Coach Brown would change his mind. And we called Johnny Yo-Yo because he went back and forth. Go get in the game. No, come back. Get in the game. No, come. So we called him Yo-Yo. He never liked that, and deservedly so.
Great memories.
But anyway, safe travels.
All right.
Great memories, absolutely. Safe travels, and get back early. Take that lovely wife to dinner. Let me know where you're going, and we'll join you. How about that? Look out.
I love that. All right, Jerry, all the best to you and the listeners for
the
great
Nickel Report
for everybody.
And all expense paid trip to the beach next week on your week off, okay? That's our treat to you. Jim Nickel, the Nickel Report. I just changed my phone number. We'll be back. Jim just mentioned Doug Morrow. It's time for Jordy and the Judge next on this Football Friday edition of the Jordy Helfrich Show.
Girl, you taught me how to hurt real bad and cry myself to sleep. Show me how this town shatters dreams.
This is everything you need to know about the Tigers' opponent on Saturday. Time for the Nickel Report.
Yeah, the Nickel Report brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, man, you just can't shop right at all. This will be an interesting Nickel Report. LSU and Vandy have only met 30 times in football since 1902. They've only played 12 times since 1957. So Jim Nickel and his research staff had to do some extra work, and we welcome in Mr. Nickel, the Crowley Kid, today. Jim, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, sir. Great Friday afternoon. Looking forward to a fantastic trip to Nashville and hopefully an SEC win and an early arrival back in Baton Rouge, which will be nice.
Yes. No golf on this trip. It's strictly business. But, boy, Nashville it's the best spot to go to in the SEC. It's a big city with a small college vibe to it. So you guys will have a lot of fun tonight in Nashville. So without further ado, tell us what we need to know about the Commodores.
Vanderbilt University Nickel Report. Vanderbilt was founded in 1873. Of course, all Jody Herberg Show listeners know LSU was founded in 1860. It's named for the shipping and rail magnate Commodore Cornelius Vanderbilt, who stroked the check for $1 million way, way back in 1873. I don't know what that's worth now, but it's a lot. And the Commodore hoped his gift would create greater work and that the university would help heal some of the wounds inflicted by the Civil War. He died before he ever got a chance to visit the university name farm, but he did establish one heck of a school. USU is a real report. has it in the top 15 best colleges in America. It's right there with Rice and Emory. This is a really good academic school. Its endowment, $6.4 billion. That's a B, billion. LSU, wow. Still not at the wow. B mark, at about $845 million. 12,000 students. They got about 7,000 undergrad, 5,000 postgraduates. By the way, all the undergraduate students have to live on campus, not just freshmen. You're required to live. There are some exceptions. Oh. But nearly 83% of Vandy students live on the Vandy campus. They recruited the very first African-American athlete in the SEC. Perry Wallace from Nashville played varsity basketball for Vanderbilt in 1967. And in 2004, a student-led drive ended in retiring Wallace's jersey, and that's an appropriate thing. There is no athletic department in Vandy. They eliminated that in 2003. The Office of Student Life, which oversees all student clubs and fraternities, et cetera, is in charge of athletics. Famous graduates, former Vice President Al Gore, Dinah Shore, Roseanne Cash, Amy Grant, David Brinkley, there's an old name from the news world that's been gone for quite some time, Robert Penn Warren, a lot of connections to Louisiana, but he's a Vanderbilt grad. Molly Sims, one of my favorite all-time supermodels, attended Vanderbilt. Yes. Tip Gore, the former Vice President's former wife. And our current U.S. Senator from Louisiana, John Kennedy, is a Vanderbilt grad. Also, the current executive counsel to Governor John Bel Edwards, Matthew Block from Houma, is a Vanderbilt grad. And then Grantland Rice, one of the most famous sports writers in the history of writing of sports, that really set the mark for sports journalists, was a graduate of Vanderbilt University. The first college game ever played in the state of Tennessee was Vandy versus the University of Nashville. Their all-time record in football as far as postseasons, they've got a 2-1 bowl record. They've been to 3 bowls. No division titles, no Heisman trophies. They've never won a conference championship since the SEC was founded in 1932 in football. They finished ranked one time in 1948. They were number 12 nationwide. Their biggest win against LSU was probably when LSU was number 6 in 1937. They beat us. Jay Cutler, formerly of the Chicago Bears, is the only SEC Offensive Player of the Year in football in Vanderbilt football history. Of course, Nashville, as you mentioned, a great town. Country Music Hall of Fame is there. By the way, $18 to get in the Country Music Hall of Fame if you want to go by there. It's open from 9 to 6, so you better go before the game. And then Ryman Auditorium, the original home of the Grand Ole Opry, which has the oldest continuous radio program in the United States. It's open from 9 to 4. The tour there is 12:50, and that is the Nickel Report.
Jim Nickel with everything you need to know about the Commodores. Vanderbilt Stadium, it's the smallest SEC football facility, 40,550. I wonder, out of those 40,550 seats, Tiger Nation's coming. I can promise you that.
My understanding is we sold our 6,000, and I'm sure we bought some on the secondary market. I hear a lot of folks going up. This is a fun trip. You mentioned it. Nashville's a great town, and the Vandy fans are very pleasant. And by the way, it's no coincidence. They'll be honoring the Vanderbilt baseball national championship team at halftime. So they'll just remind LSU, by the way, we're better than y'all in baseball right now. So they'll do that. But no, looking forward to it. It's going to be a nice trip. And as someone who traveled with the Tigers for a long, long time, you know how nice it is. People may not like that 11 o'clock kickoff, but it sure is nice to touch down at that Bear Court around 5 o'clock and have supper with the family. So looking forward to a successful trip. Need to show some improvement in our run game. Need to show some improvement in our defensive front. We need to see some play from some guys that we haven't seen so far because we've got some guys missing. We've got to see how we're going to deal with, you know, the loss of was it Palmer we lost in the game, the injury?
Todd Harris.
I keep wanting to call Palmer. Harris. We lost him. So we've got some things we need to look for, and Vandy's going to play there. You know, they're going to play well. So a lot to learn from this game. Road games are always tricky. You know that. And so we've got to take care of business, let Joe Burrow run his stats up a little bit more, hopefully have a nice win, come back, and get ready for a nice open day. But we're looking forward to Nashville for sure.
Absolutely. It's interesting because Greg Sankey announced in July that SEC Media Days, usually held in Hoover, Alabama, near the conference headquarters in Birmingham, is coming to Nashville in 2021. No direct correlation to the fact that in April the NFL draft was in town, and attendance for that three-day event was estimated at a record 600,000 people. The previous high water mark, about 250,000 for Philadelphia in 2017. So it's a great sports site. I'm just curious, with that endowment, I know they have academic restrictions there, but Vanderbilt's always bad. It's amazing. They've been good in basketball, but in football, I mean, they're just always bad.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure the recruiting for such a long time was almost impossible against what was once a very, very dominant Tennessee football team. And then you've got Ole Miss to your south recruiting against you and Georgia and LSU. By the way, three former Mr. Tennessee football players are going to be in Nashville this weekend. Unfortunately for Tennessee and for Vandy, they wear purple and gold. So Tennessee's been a rich recruiting spot for us lately. I was talking to a Tennessee fan yesterday on Thursday. I was talking to a Tennessee fan, and she was lamenting about how bad they are. I said, well, let me tell you one of the reasons you're bad. We've got your last three Mr. Tennessee footballs playing in purple and gold. She goes, you got to be kidding me. I said, no, we've gone up there and recruited pretty well. So I imagine Vandy's always had a lot of difficulty recruiting a lot of football players, but it should be a nice trip. And I know Coach O is going to be looking for an excellent performance. We can't let our guard down at any moment. And hopefully we notch a win, a convincing win, and move on about our business.
I've got to ask you this. You are our version of Mr. Blackwell. So LSU came out with the purple jerseys, white pants, white helmet. They have to wear the purple jersey again this weekend in Nashville because Vandy's going with their, I don't know, color rush outfit, whatever it is. What did you think of the purple ensemble from a week ago?
I liked it. You know, Doug Morrow, your old friend and mine, he's not crazy about that ensemble. He likes the traditional outfit. I think Coach O does, too. I think Coach O will tell you, and talking to Greg Stringfellow and Louis Bourgeois and the guys in the equipment room, the players love the change of uniform. You know, these young guys, they don't really hold on to a lot of tradition. They like the razzle-dazzle of the new changed uniforms. The question we don't know the answer to, at least as I don't, and maybe somebody does, is are we going to wear the gold helmet or the white helmet? But for sure we'll have on the purple jersey, and we'll see. But look, you put on whatever you got to put on. You got to play the game, and we got to tackle better.
That's right.
We were going up and we're hitting people, but you know the old Craig Lawson, I'm a knock you out. But you know if you miss the knockout, you miss the tackle. I'd like to see LSU tackle better, and so we're real high on a lot of things about this team. But you know you got to keep working the process, as somebody we know would say, and keep going and keep getting better because the road in October gets a little rough.
Speaking of that, the process, your thoughts, I thought it was a great move by the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, Nick Saban going into it this summer. Your thoughts on Saban going into the Hall of Fame of Louisiana sports?
Well, certainly, I mean, 100% deserving. I mean, he is by far one of the most important people in Louisiana football history. He brought LSU back. He did a lot of great things for us. He deserves it. I'm not crazy about the timing. I'm not sure it couldn't have been done. You know, I guess this is when they announce those things. I'm not sure we could have waited until he retired and done it. I don't know what it does. I'm sure it doesn't do anything about recruiting or anything, but certainly well-deserved. And I know that Coach Saban will go up there and give them a great event. You know, those Hall of Fame events are about a lot of things, including raising money for the Hall of Fame. He will turn out a lot of people. He will That's be right. good for the event. He'll be good for the Hall. So it's definitely well-deserved.
Yeah. I'm with you. Across the street is the our version of the Parthenon. If you haven't been there, go see that. And then you got to go, if you haven't, you got to go see the basketball gym with more scoreboards than any other gym in the world. I think the last count I saw, they had about 18 or 19 scoreboards in that strange configuration of hoops where the court is raised and the coaches and the benches are behind the goals, not on the sidelines.
Never been. I'm glad you recommended that. We'll get there about 2 hours before kickoff. Maybe I'll be able to pop over there and check it out. Did you play at Vandy for LSU?
Did play at Vandy. Yes, played at Vandy, and they were very good back then. So, yeah, we played, and, you know, they pushed the bleachers back. And I swear, God, it was like the longest court in the history of the world. It was crazy. It was raised, and it was really, really weird. And the funniest story ever was back. He ended up becoming the head coach at LSU and had some success. And then, you know, Johnny Jones, I'll never forget Dale Brown sending him into the game. And you had to run from the bench down the sideline, kneel, because that's where the scorer's table was. And Coach Brown would change his mind. And we called Johnny Yo-Yo because he went back and forth. Go get in the game. No, come back. Get in the game. No, come. So we called him Yo-Yo. He never liked that, and deservedly so.
Great memories.
But anyway, safe travels.
All right. Yeah,
great memories, absolutely. Safe travels, and get back early. Take that lovely wife to dinner. Let me know where you're going, and we'll join you. How about that? Oh,
I love that.
Look out.
I love that. All right, Jerry, all the best to you and the listeners for
the
great
Nickel Report
for everybody.
And all expense paid trip to the beach next week on your week off, okay? That's our treat to you. Jim Nickel, the Nickel Report. I just changed my phone number. We'll be back. Jim just mentioned Doug Morrow. It's time for Jordy and the Judge next on this Football Friday edition of the Jordy Helfrich Show.
Girl, you told me that I hurt real bad and cried myself to sleep. Show me how this town shattered dreams. Another lesson.
We welcome you back. Finishing touches of hour number one on this Football Friday. Don't forget about the Angola Prison Rodeo. It's coming up. So saddle up, Acadiana. The Angola Prison Rodeo is coming in 103.7. The game wants you, wants to give you a family four-pack of tickets to the wildest show in the South. Just text the word Angola, A-N-G-O-L-A, to 68683 for your chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to the Angola Prison Rodeo. So take advantage of that opportunity. Busy second hour coming your way. George Faust will join us. The latest on select schools won't play in the Superdome this year. We'll talk about high school football and the Raging Cajuns going to a very formidable foe in Ohio. Larry Holder will join us. He was at the wild finish as the Tulane Greenway saved the very best plays for the last two plays of the game. We'll get his recap of that, his thoughts on the New Orleans Saints, and we'll give you Monday's headlines on a Friday. It's all coming your way. Hour number two of the Jordy Helfrich Show brought to you by ShopRite, Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets for all your travel needs, for all your tailgating needs. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, you can't shop right at all. Ed Ingram back with the Tigers, won't play this weekend, but he'll be ready for the Utah State. Hour number two, straight ahead on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana's sports station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Helfrich Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Helfrich.
It's hour number two of two on this Friday, the 20th day of September. And let's get busy without wasting any time. It's a very formidable foe that the Raging Cajuns will be facing. Their first true road test filled with obstacles and tons of incentive to succeed. That plus another Friday night of high school football. George Faust joins us each and every Friday at this time of day, the sports director at KLFY. Thrilled to have him. George, good afternoon, my friend. Happy Friday to you.
Good afternoon. Doing great. How are you?
Good. How do you think select schools are feeling right now? They won't get to play in the Superdome this year. How do you think they're feeling about that?
Well, I think some of them are okay with it. I think others are not. I know that that whole experience is something that a lot of high schools look forward to, and it's kind of disappointing to me that that's not going to be the case this year, and we'll see what happens in the future. I think there's three sites that are in contention: UL, Southeastern, and Tulane. So we'll see what happens. It's a bit disappointing though, because it's kind of one of the most unique things about high school sports is that opportunity, you know, and then the drive for the dome, and you know, hey, we're going to end our season in the dome, yeah, that type of thing. Yeah. And financially, it might make a little sense, but I don't think it outweighs the experience. Sometimes the best things in life aren't monetary. It's right, memories, you know.
Right. So But this all stems from the fact that there's so many games, and now you're asking some teams to play the biggest game of their life at 10 o'clock in the morning, or Thursday at 9 o'clock at night. It just doesn't make sense.
No, yeah, I mean there were some logistical problems with regards to when teams were playing and things like that, for sure. I'm sure there are other ways to handle it. Probably people smarter than me, but could figure that out. But I mean, you could probably, I mean, you could play all week long. You could, you know, or play two weekends. I think they tried that once, to play two weekends. A lot of people brought up the fact that, you know, all three of those stadiums that I mentioned, UL, Tulane, Southeastern, they're all outdoor stadiums. And it's going to be December. It'll be cold. And I just say, you know, well, that's football.
It's football,
So, I mean, I have no – they play outdoors all year long through November. You know, it's just another element to – that doesn't bother me as much as the idea of a team getting that reward of playing in a dome. And, you know, one local coach actually told me the reason Texas plays their games in Cowboy Stadium was because they came over here and saw how Louisiana modeled their state championship. And, they go play in the dome. What a great idea. Let's do that. So Texas football, high school football, modeled their state championships after Louisiana. And I think we're missing a little bit of a boat here by changing it.
It's been a mess. Sure. It's been a mess ever since they went select, non-select. I just wash my hands of it. Let's get to the fun part. What games are we going to be watching tonight in Acadiana?
Oh, man, there's a big matchup that a lot of people have been talking about all week long. It's Lafayette Christian taking on Acadiana. It seems like every game that Lafayette Christian plays, if they're playing a big-time opponent, it kind of draws the eyes of the football fans around here. And that's the case. I was out this morning running some errands, and I was talking to a couple of people, and they were the ones excited about Acadiana and LCA and telling me, hey, what do you think is going to happen in that? What do you think is going to happen in that game? And you know, LCA has a big team, and they have a lot of weapons, but I think Acadiana is just going to be a little too much for them tonight.
They finally get to meet up, so there's one old rivalry with Karen Crow versus Acadiana, but this ought to be interesting. So let the fun begin. All right, let's shift our focus up to Ohio. I got a funny feeling the Cajuns are going into a hornet's nest when they take on the Ohio Bobcats, Frank Solich and their quarterback. What do you think?
Yeah, this is going to be definitely one of the better tests of the year for the Raging Cajuns. If they can get this game, it'll say a lot about what Billy Napier has been able to do and the style of football that they're going to play. It's a tough one. Ohio's a great non-conference matchup. It's one of those mid-major programs that you know, big-time programs don't want to have to play, because every once in a while, you know, they might pick you off. And so this is a great game, I think it's a great measuring stick to see how good the Cajuns are, because we've seen them run the ball really well so far this year, and so if they're able to do that again on the road in a tough environment, I think that'll say volumes about what Coach Napier has been able to kind of push forward here for the Cajuns. It's going to be tough. It's definitely one I'm circling on the calendar here, because this will tell you more than the Mississippi State game ever would. Because, you know, obviously when you play a Power Five, they have more athletes, they have bigger, more money, they're a bigger pot, a bigger school. So this will give you a better view of how good the Cajuns can be this year. I firmly believe that.
I'm with you, George Faust, KLFY, kind enough to join us. Offensive line has been terrific. Running game has been terrific. I keep saying teams are going to jam the box and force Levi to throw the football. This is a tough opponent. I still think that's what Ohio is going to do, and we'll see how if the Raging Cajuns quarterback can keep up with the prolific quarterback for Ohio. Whoever does the best, I think, wins.
Right, yeah. Well, look, I don't have a problem with that, because I think the Cajuns have some playmakers at wide receiver. Jamarcus Bradley, Bam Jackson, those two guys definitely will be able to make some plays if Levi can get him the ball. And I think there's an opportunity there that we haven't seen yet this year from the Cajuns' offense. Mostly has been running ground and pound, and that offensive line doing a great job. I'm not afraid for Levi to throw the ball. If that happens, I think the Cajuns might be in good hands. You know, that's all right with me, because I know they have some playmakers at the wide receiver spot and then the tight end as well. So there's some options there.
I am with you, George Faust, KLFY. We see the job that Willie Fritz has done at Tulane. How do you sum up the job so far that Bill Napier's done in a season or two and a half?
The biggest improvement is the attitude of the team and the way they have bought into what he was trying to do and what he is trying to do. I think he calls it culture, with a big UL in the middle there. But definitely, you see the players kind of buying into that, not questioning the method, and by that happening, it's been really a huge success his first year and a half here for the Raging Cajuns.
All right, we're going to put you on the line here as an unbiased sports broadcaster, George Faust, the Raging Cajuns, Ohio Bobcats. What do you how do you think it turns out?
Ooh, man, this is tough. I hate picking, but maybe I'm a bit of a homer, but I think the Cajuns. I don't know what the spread is, but Napier's got this. These guys just, they're so bought in. I just believe that their mentality is, you know, we're going to do whatever it takes to get the job done, and we're going to take care of our business. You know, at the end of the game, we'll look up and we'll see. Oh, hey, look, we did a good job. I like the Cajuns to win this game. I really do. I mean, I know Ohio's one of those, like I said, tough mid-major programs to face. Right. But I've seen the Cajuns day in, day out. I kind of know what they have. So I'm willing to ride with those guys.
I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to make a prediction that the Cajun field will host the select schools championship games this year. I think they'll put in a good bid. I think it's a great stadium. I think it'll be centrally located. I think they get the win over Southeastern and Yulman Stadium. That's my prediction. How about that?
I like that prediction. I'll go with that. That's going to be interesting too, because now we're going to have to split our staff up, because both select and non-select state championships are going to be the 10th through the 12th in December. So they're playing at the same time, two different spots.
Well,
so
just hire me on as a freelancer. I only cost a couple thou a live hit, and we're good to go. All right.
Oh, look at that. Maybe I should think about freelance.
I'm sure it's in the budget. I am sure it's in the budget. George Faust, KLFY, all the high school highlights tonight, the Raging Cajuns highlights, the Tigers on Saturday, and, of course, the Saints on Sunday. You'll have it all covered. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next Friday, my friend. Take care.
All right, you too, Jordy. Good to talk to you.
All right. We'll continue this Football Friday. Up next, the New Orleans Saints, Larry Holder of The Athletic, joins us. His thoughts as the breezeless Saints try to get a win in Seattle. Woo, tough. Brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana. Peterbilt of Louisiana with offices in Acadiana, in Lafayette, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans. It's the dream of every truck driver to own a Peterbilt because it's the best, the most comfortable, the most reliable, the most dependable, the best looking. Put it all together, Peterbilt. The Tigers have their equipment in Nashville. Their white helmets, purple jerseys, white pants. They trust their travel to Peterbilt. We'll be back with Larry Holder next.
Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Holtberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
All right, we welcome in every Friday Larry Holder of The Athletic. We always talk about the New Orleans Saints, but before we talk about the Saints, he was at Yuleman Stadium, about 21,000 people that saw a finish that the whole sporting world is talking about. Tulane beats Houston with a little razzle dazzle and then a touchdown pass in the most unusual of fashion. Larry, wow, I've seen some finishes before. That was something else, man. How are you?
I'm good, and it's pretty remarkable in that Tulane fans are typically used to seeing that work against them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know you're an LSU guy. I'm an LSU alum. I mean, that's just, we know that they have this, just these bitter feelings just about fandom in general. But my goodness, what a finish in front of the nation. I mean, every bar in America had that game on.
Yep. And it was much better than the NFL game, I can promise you that.
So I just saw, what was it, like 15 penalties in the first half or something crazy? Like, I just saw it on Twitter. Because, yeah, but no, I happened to be on the field right in the end zone, like standing by the pylon when Jalen McCleskey is running it with the football, and I had goosebumps, and I'm just impartial McGee. So if I can imagine Tulane fan, I mean, this is, look, the program's on the up and up. There's no question about it.
Yes.
And look, kudos to you. Look, like I said, we're LSU guys. At heart, and kudos to Justin McMillan.
Yeah.
I mean,
that has been
such a great move for him, and the offense works great with him. And he's a competent guy. Wearing it's the clutch time. Guess what? He's delivering. And look, you got to give that whole program a ton of credit.
How about the bravado? I mean, the game is tied. You're at your 29-yard line, 18 seconds left. You got a timeout in your pocket. You line up in the formation. Will Hall, the offensive coordinator, you line up in the old touchdown, let's take a knee formation, and instead you hand it off, and Amari Hall goes 18 yards. Didn't know he broke his nose earlier in the game, so he's a gamer, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah, he got his face smashed in. I mean, I remember seeing him come off the field when it happened. I said, oh, that's not good. And then you realize, oh, my gosh, he's the one taking off. Without that run, you know, what they probably do is have to call timeout, try to figure it out, this, that, the other. But, I mean, able to get out of bounds, 18 yards, and then you're able to take a shot in the middle of the field. And so, yeah, it's funny. Willie Fritz called it the fumble rooski at the press conference afterwards. But still. I think that the fact that even Justin McMillan thought, all right, let's get the ball down in the middle of the field. We'll call timeout, kick a field goal, try to win it. And then Jalen McCleskey, who's only been on campus for, a little bit of time. He was at Oklahoma State, transferred. His dad's the DB coach, former Saint, J.J. McCleskey. And they get the job done. And now they're 3-1, one of the best starts they've had in quite a long time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see how the votes go, like in the polls. I'm curious to see if they can kind of register a little bit there.
Well, it was a very important conference game against one of Tulane's chief competitors in the American Athletic West Division. So that's a win-win across the board. You mentioned J.J. McCleskey, so we shift now to Seattle. The Saints taking on the Seahawks. We all know not about Drew Brees. So is Sean Payton going to play two quarterbacks, or is that just a smokescreen?
Look, you're definitely going to play two. Now, which one gets the majority of the snaps? My thinking, at least this week, is Teddy Bridgewater. And I, you know, I'm curious to see where they go going forward. Just because, look, Teddy Bridgewater has been a starter in the league. Taysom Hill has never started an NFL game in his life. And so you, right now, you go with Teddy and see what happens. If Teddy can get the job done, they roll with him. If not, I don't think Sean Payton will have any problem going with Taysom, given the flexibility with him and the way he can create plays with his feet more than Teddy Bridgewater, because Teddy Bridgewater is more of a Drew Brees clone. And so they're going to mix and match and try to do everything they can to kind of keep defenses all on their toes. And, yeah, I'm curious, Seattle's going to have – it's going to be quite an interesting situation for Seattle. Just because, yeah, I know they're game planning, but you're going to game plan more for Teddy or Taysom or both. And it's like the only card that Saints have in this situation because Drew Brees is certainly going to be out.
I kind of get a feeling, Larry Holder of The Athletic, that Sean Payton, although he loves and would love to have Drew Brees in there, I kind of think he's taking this on as a personal challenge. This is right in his wheelhouse that he's had some time now to make a game plan, to do something different. I bet you his juices are running really hot.
Oh, he certainly relishes this. I know it. And I've had conversations with him in the past where he knew or knows at some point that he's going to have to prepare a game plan for a quarterback outside of Drew Brees, and he's got to have to alter some of the things that he does. And Sean Payton doesn't back down from a challenge. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And even players from all accounts from my colleague Catherine Terrell, who's up in Seattle, I'm going to be in New Orleans this weekend, not making the trip. But all the players are saying, yeah, Sean is like in it to win it for sure. And I think that the players around these quarterbacks are going to feel that and rally around, because let's be frank, the players around these quarterbacks have to play maybe even above where you would expect normally. Defense has got to play well. The run game's got to work. The offensive line's got to play well. Receivers have got to be on point. And if the ball's a little bit off, you've got to be able to make the catch. And so, you know, that just is coming with the territory without Drew Brees.
I got a funny feeling. If this game were played in New Orleans, I'm not so sure Teddy Bridgewater does start. I think Taysom Hill rallies the crowd a little bit more so than Teddy. But the fact that it's you're playing a visitor in a very tough environment, you got to go with the veteran. I got to see more out of Marcus Lattimore. I mean, I got to see more from this guy. I don't know what's happened to him, but he's not the same player.
Yeah, Lattimore, well, I'll go back to the first point. I don't think that they cater it to where they're playing. I just think that they want to – look, Teddy's won 11 games in the season the last time he was a starting quarterback, made it to the playoffs, almost won the playoff game. And so I think they would stick with the guy who's been in there before. But as far as Marshawn Lattimore, I do think that he has to be a guy that is your shutdown guy. He was at one point, and now I will say this, that, look, the deep ball against the Rams, man, that was, look, I thought he didn't have bad coverage. I mean, there was a little bit of separation, but I think Jared Goff and Brandon Cooks just had a great throw, great catch, and then the touchdown pass. I mean, he was on top of the player. That was just a pinpoint pass, but still, he has not been the same guy since his rookie year. And he wants to be that shutdown guy. I wrote about it in training camp. And I think we do have to take into account, too, Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins are pretty darn good. And so is Jared Goff and that trio of receivers. Yeah. So, you know, it's a little bit – it's a challenge. Not every team that they're going to face going forward is going to have that type of test.
In about 20 seconds, you think the Saints can tread water, get to be at 500 when Breeze returns and still be in the race in the NFC South?
Oh, I think they could certainly be 500. I think the winner of this division could be 9-7 at this rate, 10-6. That would win it for you, too. I don't think they win this week. It wouldn't stun me if they did. I don't think they will. But I do think they could certainly go 500.
Larry Holder of The Athletic, enjoy the weekend, buddy. Put Terrell up there in Seattle. But we'll talk to you again next Friday. Thank you, my friend.
You got it. Jeff Duncan will be up there, too, for The Athletic. Thanks, Jordy.
There you go. Good. Good deal. Good deal. We'll take a timeout. Back with more on The Jordy Helpert Show.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Holtberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
You can enter to win a $50 gift card to Ruffino's on the River. Maybe you haven't heard Ruffin sing a tune or two in the 103.7 The Game clubhouse. Just enter by going to 1037thegame.com. Ruffino's $50 gift card giveaway. This is the time of the day on Friday when we show you Monday's headlines. On a Friday, we make our predictions, give you our thoughts on things. I was pretty good. I was good with LSU. I was good with UL. I thought they would both win in blowouts. They did. I was dead wrong on my Saints against the LA Rams. So we'll see if we can do a little bit better. Of course, the tripod back together again. You know CD, and of course, you know GB, George Becknell. Hello, George. How you doing, buddy?
Jordy, I'm fantastic. How are you, brother?
I am good. I'm kind of torn on this one. I don't think some of the local folks are going to like me this week because of what I think the way games are going to go. But let's get busy and let's figure out what we're going to do. So let's start with CD. All right, CD, are you ready?
I'm ready, Jordy. Let's start things off looking towards across the basin. We'll come see the LSU Tigers and their big game against Vanderbilt. Open up SEC play, and the headline for Monday is going to be, without a doubt, Burrow rolls. It's going to be an absolute dominant performance from Joe Burrow. We're going to see him be the key to this LSU offense coming alive with a convincing, I'd say, 40-7 win over the Vanderbilt Commodores. It's going to be extremely one-sided from the jump. It'll be as expected for the Tigers to get the dub.
Sounds like a sushi roll there, the Burrow roll. So we'll see what goes on. All right, George, the headlines in Baton Rouge Monday will be what?
Man, I'll tell you what, before I get to that, man, I'll hit a sushi place in Baton Rouge and give me a Burrow roll before it's all said and done, bro. But my headline for LSU
deal
is taking care of business. LSU covers the spread on the road against Vanderbilt with a 41-14 win. Joe Burrow and the LSU offense continue to look strong. However, the defense is a concern as LSU's secondary gave up 300 yards passing, and both of Vanderbilt's touchdowns were through the air. Coach O says we got to get it fixed.
All right, I'm in agreement. LSU's going to win this thing. I think that they had their wake-up call against Northwestern State when they came out kind of like, okay, we're better than these guys. We don't have to play hard. We're going to win this thing. And all of a sudden, whoa, okay. Second half, they shut them out. They win by 51. So I guess the headline in Baton Rouge is going to be something to the effect of sweet music in Music City. So the Tigers will roll. They're favored by 23.5. They'll beat that spread. They'll win by 30 or more. Burrow will throw. Somebody else gets through for 400 yards or 500 yards against them, I think Burrow will be very, very successful. I guess the question is, how many series will Joe Burrow play in this game? And I love the fact that Miles Brennan has had some serious run this year to date, so that bodes well for the future. All right, let's get to the next one. CD, the headlines in Lafayette Monday will say what about the Raging Cajuns against the Bobcats?
They will say Cajuns rage on, and they start off 3-1 on the year. We wound up seeing the Cajuns. It'll be a highly contested matchup, and I think we see Steve Yartigue finally get over his whole bugaboo about making field goals. He's made all of his extra points last week, but now he's going to do it when it counts. Clutch moments, maybe not a walk-off field goal, but it'll be in the final moments to secure another win for the Cajuns, improving to 3-1 on the year over the Ohio Bobcats. The defense will be one thing I think everybody's going to kind of complain about, because they weren't able to hold down Nathan Rourke, a star quarterback out of Ohio. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with these two teams. But the Cajuns, they'll be starting out of the season 3-1 in my book.
Wow, way to go. Okay, George, are you going for the vermilion or are you going for the green?
Oh, man, look, my headline for this one is very similar to Clint's. You know, I'm going with the Acadian nail biter. You know, despite a stellar passing and rushing performance from Nathan Rourke, Levi Lewis was able to engineer a game-winning drive capped off by a one-yard Trey Reagan's touchdown, and the Cajuns pull off a 34-28 win at the end of the game.
All right, good. You both homers. I like that. I don't see it that way. I'm sorry, Acadiana. My headline is Rourke ruins the Raging Cajuns. I think this is a hornet's nest that they're going into. I think it's going to be a very difficult place to go play. This is the Sun Belt meets the MAC. I think Frank Solich is going to have his guys ready to go. And life on the road can be tough at times. I think this is a tough, tough task. So Rourke ruins the Raging Cajuns. I got Ohio and the Bobcats winning this one. All right, let's get to some other ones now. Not so much pressure on these because they're not our home teams. But, boy, it's a big one. Georgia, between the hedges, hosting Notre Dame. Notre Dame's not had very much success of late in big-time games. So what is the headline, CD, going to be in South Bend, Indiana on Monday?
The headline, Jordy, it's going to simply read, once bitten, twice shy, the Bulldogs will bite the Notre Dame Golden Fighting Irish. The Golden Domers are going to be shut out in this one. It's going to continue to show that Notre Dame, no matter how much you can put them in those preseason polls, they continue not to live up to the hype when it comes to these big games. We saw it last year in the BCS title game, and it'll be more of the same this year when these two teams face off.
He's got Georgia rolling over the Irish in the primetime CBS game that took LSU and Alabama out of primetime and stuck them at the 2:30 CBS slot in November. George, in South Bend, Indiana, what is the headline going to read on Monday?
You know what? I'm in agreement with Clint on this one. My headline is out of luck. On the strength of a huge game from Jake Fromm, Georgia blows out Notre Dame 41-10. Once again, Notre Dame is overrated and cannot get it done against a big-time opponent. So me and Clint must have been sharing notes before this segment.
Very rarely do you have a top 10 matchup where one team is favored by two touchdowns. A lot of people believing in Georgia. Hadn't played anybody yet. This all depends upon Ian Book, the quarterback for Notre Dame. What can he do? I think Book has a great game. I think Notre Dame keeps it close. I think Georgia wins, but I think the Irish covers, beats the spread. So I'm going to say book keeps it close, but the Bulldogs win it in Athens. So Georgia wins, but I believe Notre Dame keeps a little bit closer. And CBS executives are thrilled because people won't be flipping the channels to Austin, Texas to see Oklahoma State and Texas play. They'll be all gravitated and glued to the tube watching the Irish and Georgia play. So we'll see. We shall see. All right. Here's another interesting one. All the pressure in the world, CD, I believe, is on Jim Harbaugh. He has been awful. I mean, just awful against big-time teams in big-time moments. Hasn't beaten Ohio State yet. He's lost in bowl games. He did get Wisconsin a year ago, but now they travel up to Madison. So what's the Ann Arbor paper going to say on Monday?
The Ann Arbor paper is going to read simply this: Swiss cheese. The Wisconsin Badgers defense was like Swiss cheese, and the Wolverines rolled on through them, getting a convincing win. Maybe not a three, four touchdown victory, but it'll be at least by two touchdowns. And we see Shea Patterson kind of start to come into his own after years of him starting to develop. Michigan going to get the win.
Wow, he got Michigan on the road. Wow, okay. CD sticking his neck out there a little bit. All right, George, Ann Arbor. Hey, good headline or bad headline?
Hey, I thought that headline was pretty clever, but I'm just glad I finally completely disagree with Clint on this one. My headline is Harbaugh on the hot seat. After a 10-point loss to Michigan, Jim Harbaugh is officially on the hot seat. Athletic director was quoted saying, "We are Michigan and we must win big games." Give Jim Harbaugh some credit. He's got the program on an upswing from where it was when he took over, but they are Michigan. To your point, Jordan, they cannot win the big games. I don't think they beat Ohio State yet. They're going to lose to Wisconsin, and they're going to wonder, is Jim Harbaugh the guy to bring them back to glory? And they'll have to make that decision in the offseason.
All right. Headlines, Ann Arbor, Monday. Wolverines D limits Taylor. Harbaugh exercises demons. Michigan in a nail biter wins by a field goal at the buzzer, 13-10. The Wolverines get the win, and it's khaki city all over the place in Ann Arbor. There's a sale on khaki slacks because Jim Harbaugh's back in everybody's good favor until they have to go play Ohio State. I think Michigan wins it close. I think their defense is good. I think they'll have a game plan for Jonathan Taylor, who has been spectacular. But I'm not sold on either team yet, but I got a feeling every dog has his day. And Harbaugh, he's going to get one eventually, and I think this is the one. All right, there's a big game in the SEC, boys. You know all about that. Gus Malzahn is back in his element. He's calling plays. He's got a freshman quarterback going on the road. Jimbo Fisher, the 12th man in College Station, awaits the Auburn Tigers. A&M hosting Auburn. CD, what is the headline in College Station, Texas?
The headline, Jordy, is don't stop Bo Leavin. We see Bo Nix do it again on the big stage, and we see Bo Nix help the Auburn Tigers beat Texas A&M by the hair of their chinny chin chin. A very late touchdown pass to clinch it. Don't stop Bo Leavin, the headline is going to read.
Believe it. Look at CD getting creative. I like it. All right, George, what do you think? College Station headlines.
Man, the headlines I got is smoke and mirrors. After 3-0 start against non-conference opponents, the Auburn Tigers give up a season-high 40 points on the road against Texas A&M. Isaiah Spiller leads the way for the Aggies with 115 yards on the ground and two rushing touchdowns. Gus Malzahn is exactly who we thought he was, and he's not a good coach.
He's okay. In a game like this, Nix is getting better and better, but I like the veteran quarterback at home. Auburn's defensive front is very, very good. So I think the headlines in College Station will read a monumental performance gets the Aggies the W. Kellen Mond, I think, will play terrific. I think he'll live up to his billing finally. And I think the veteran quarterback bests the rookie quarterback, particularly at home. I like the Aggies to win it behind the monumental performance of Kellen Mond. All right, let's go to the pro ranks. What will the headlines in Seattle read Monday, CD?
The headline is going to read, Bridging the Gap, Teddy Bridgewater helps the New Orleans Saints get things done and exorcise some demons of the New Orleans Saints who haven't been able to get things done against the Seahawks on the road inside what they call the home of the 12th man. I think the Saints are going to wind up winning. It'll be a close one, but we see, more importantly, the Saints' defense get it done against an offensive line that has shown itself to be less than ideal at certain points of the season. It's going to be a win for the Saints and definitely a big win for the defense.
Oh, Clint, man, he loves them home teams. I like it. I like it. All right, George, are you agreeing or disagreeing with Mr. Domain?
Oh, I agree. So my headline is back in stride. You know, in an effort to get back on track after a thumb injury to Drew Brees and an embarrassing performance in L.A., the Saints put up 38 points on the road against Seattle with a dual quarterback system. 75% of the snaps for Teddy Bridgewater, 25% for Taysom Hill. The Seattle Seahawks cannot prepare for that. And also, with their best receiver right now being DK Metcalf, Seattle doesn't do anything against the Saints secondary. Cam Jordan gets two sacks. Saints went big on the road.
All right. Saints have stayed out there since their loss to the Rams. They have had time to weather the Drew Brees injury. They have settled in away from all the distractions. So the headline in Seattle says, Peyton says, hell yes. I think Taysom Hill comes in and gets the winning touchdown for the Saints in a role that Sean Payton relishes. I think Sean Payton's tired of all the Sean McVay talk and all the Bill Belichick talk. He loses his Hall of Fame quarterback. He comes up with a great game plan and steals one on the road as Seattle, sitting back in their lap of luxury, thinks, no Drew Brees, no worries. Payton says, hell yes. And the Saints win it and come back home to take on the Dallas Cowboys. So there's our picks. So I thought let's all have one Lanyap headline for whatever it may be and wherever it may come from. CD, you first.
All right, Jordy, we're going to flip it on over to the NFL, looking at an AFC-NFC matchup between the Steelers and the 49ers. And the headline is going to read, Rudolph, the red-nosed quarterback, he helps get it done for the Pittsburgh Steelers after Ben Roethlisberger done for the year. I believe he was a former Oklahoma State Cowboy. Rudolph gets it done and leads the Steelers to their first win of the 2019 season.
Beating Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners on the road. George, what's your Lanyap headline?
George, I'm going to take it to the hardwood, and I'm going to have a headline of Reloaded. After Greg Popovich, you know, just tongue lashes fans for saying it's a disappointment not to win a medal in international play. LeBron James announces that he comes out of USA retirement. He's going to go to the next Olympics. Other all-stars are expected to follow, and we're going to have a great Team USA to root for in the 2020 Summer Olympics.
That's the avenue I was going down, and my headline was, Japan, ship the gold to the USA. We don't need to go because we're going to blow everybody out of the water if we do. Steph Curry opened up the floodgates. Everybody's joining in. The embarrassment of finishing seventh in the FIBA World Games is enough to bring out everybody who's anybody. And we will bring our best of our best, and it might be the best since the Dream Team got it all started the first time the NBA sent its players over to the Olympics. We've been embarrassed, and we ain't going to be embarrassed for long, because look out, it's coming in 2020. Gentlemen, There's our picks. There's our headlines for a Monday. George, have a great weekend. Thank you so much for joining us yet again, my friend.
Pleasure's always mine, Jordan. Take it easy.
All right, you take care. CD, job well done. We'll be back and wrap this baby up. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Football Friday, rolling. We welcome you back. Finishing touches to this Football Friday edition of the Jordy Helfrich Show, brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana. Peterbilt, the truck every truck driver wants to drive, the most reliable, the most dependable, the most comfortable, the safest, and the best resale value. The Tigers are in Nashville. They got their equipment there thanks to a Peterbilt truck. All right, let's do our daily history lesson. It was on this day, September 20th, 1973, Billie Jean King defeated Bobby Riggs in just three sets in what became known as the Battle of the Sexes, considered a milestone in women's tennis. Billie Jean King takes down Bobby Riggs on this day, September 20th, the year 1973. Today's your birthday. Happy birthday from all of us to all of you. Hope you have a great one. Happy birthday to former LSU Tiger Kramer Robertson. Shortstop, celebrating a birthday today. But your anniversary, happy, happy anniversary. LSU wins convincingly. I'm on the other side of the fence. I think Ohio beats the Raging Cajuns. I don't know why. I don't know why. In Sean, I trust. Saints pull out a miracle and win in Seattle. How about that? We'll come on back Monday, same time, 2 to 4 p.m., same great station, 103.7 The Game. We'll recap it all. You can tell me I'm an idiot. You can tell me I'm a genius. I may be both. I may be neither. Who knows? CD, job well done, as always, all week long. You're the best. Thanks to all of you for listening, to our partners that make it possible. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. Until then, I'm Jordy Helfrich. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.